You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, May 14th, 2026, and welcome to episode 182 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the program today. You may have noticed that there was no show last week, and I do apologize for that. I was laid up for a few days in the hospital with a case of pneumonia, which is something that I've always associated more with, you know, old people. So I guess that's another box marked off on the I'm an old man now checklist. I also discovered what it feels like to get a spinal tap during my stay, which I don't know if you've heard about those, but it turns out not that fun. Not that great. Anywho, on this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the latest adventure game from Don't Nod, Aphelion. But let's start the show off with a look at the headlines from this past week. And this week's story comes from GameSpot. And Nintendo has announced that following in the footsteps of PlayStation and Xbox, they will be raising the price of their hardware, the Switch 2, by $50 up to $499 US, starting in September. The quote from the story goes, "This change in hardware pricing was not due to any one specific factor," Nintendo President Shuntaro Furukawa said during the company's recent financial results presentation. "Rather, the decision was made in light of various changes in the recent market conditions, which we believe will have a medium to long-term impact on the global outlook of our dedicated video game platform business. Unfortunately, the recent surge in memory and other component prices and the changes in the market environment, including trends in the foreign exchange market and the price of oil, are all factors that we anticipate will continue over the medium to long term." End quote. Not a huge surprise that this happened. The interesting thing here is that right after this announcement, Nintendo also announced a new Switch 2 bundle, which includes your choice of a digital copy of either Mario Kart World, Donkey Kong Bonanza, or Pokemon Pacopia for the low price of $4.99. So is this a sneaky way of getting buyers used to that $4.99 price, and then in September, you know, they maybe yank out the pack-in game? Or do they keep that option of a included digital game as a way to kind of soften the blow of the increase? Which I think, you know, if it's the latter, I think that's a fairly smart way of, you know, getting your cake and eating it too. Either way, the trend of gaming consoles going up in price after launch instead of down doesn't seem to be going anywhere. As someone who lists Life is Strange as one of my favorite games of all time, the Don't Nod logo always manages to get my attention. That being said, I never quite know what to expect from one of their games. There are two main studios at Don't Nod, and really I feel like there's kind of two distinct styles of game that they make. You have got, you know, the team that did the original Life is Strange and its sequel, as well as Tell Me Why and Lost Records. These are very narrative-heavy, choice-driven experiences, oftentimes done episodically. Then there is the side that does more, let's say, gameplay-focused titles like Remember Me or 2024's Banisher's Ghosts of New Eden. You know, these have more action maybe, or role-playing elements in them. I honestly don't know which of the developers, which of their studios is responsible for their latest game, the sci-fi adventure Aphelion, but it kind of straddles the line between those two styles. It has a lot of platforming and some light puzzle solving, but it's still much more about the storytelling and the narrative. What I do know is that it's probably my favorite Don't Nod game since the original Life is Strange. And if you love a good science fiction story, I think this needs to be on your radar. Aphelion is set in the near future and tells the story of the Hope One mission, an expedition to the fictional ninth planet of our solar system, Persephone, a seemingly barren and icy planet, kind of like Hoth on steroids. Astronauts Ariane Montclair and Thomas Cross are tasked with exploring this newly discovered world and studying it to see if it's a viable new home for humanity after it becomes clear that the damage that we have done to Earth due to climate change has become irreversible at this point. But while approaching the planet, an electromagnetic surge of some sort causes their ship to crash, and the mission turns into a fight for survival. Now, one of the neat things I think about this game is that it was developed in partnership with the European Space Agency. So there were real scientists and astronauts that worked alongside the developers to make sure that everything was as credible and as realistic as possible, from the terminology that they use and the instrumentation to, you know, the actual science behind the mission. A mission which the ESA even, you know, made a patch for and a section of their website detailing the fictional journey. It's pretty cool how far they went to try and get all those details just right, and it really comes across in the game, and it feels very grounded. So the two astronauts, Ari and Thomas, were separated during the crash, and the game goes back and forth between the two of them as they try to find each other and see if there's anything left of the mission that they can salvage. The chapters where you're playing as Ari are more action-packed and full of platforming challenges. She can scurry up cliffs and slide down icy slopes, and she's got a grappling hook to swing across chasms. And Thomas, on the other hand, was injured during the crash and therefore moves much slower. He can't do all the, the acrobatics. Instead of leaping across huge crevices, he needs to find a source of oxygen to keep going due to the damage that his suit took during the crash. In both cases, the gameplay mechanics add a nice, you know, it's a nice little variety while you're switching back and forth between them, you know, so they don't play identically. But I wouldn't say that they're like a highlight of the game. The platforming segments in particular can feel kind of clunky and not quite as responsive as I would like. It's not, you know, bad to the point of detracting from the game, but it's also not good enough to really feel super satisfying. They're just kind of, you know, fine. They're there. To me, they're more support beams for the main attraction, which is the storytelling. And I really, really do dig that side of things. The game clearly takes inspiration from movies like Interstellar and I think even more so The Martian, you know, being unexpectedly stranded on a harsh planet with limited resources or gear or shelter. It's a really great setup for some intense moments. Persephone may be humanity's hope for the future, but it's not like some beautiful oasis, you know, from crossing over crackling frozen lakes to frigid temperatures and electrical storms. the environment is constantly trying to kill you. I also found a lot of similarities to one of my favorite TV shows of all time, Lost. Early on, you get the impression that there is more going on with this planet than you've been led to believe. And uncovering that mystery is very satisfying, I found. There's also the relationship between Ari and Thomas. In the opening scene, it's implied that their relationship has somewhat veered from the strictly professional to something more while they were on their journey to Persephone. And that complicates things as they weigh the difference between trying to see if they can complete their mission as opposed to finding one another. I think the writers do a good job of balancing both the extraordinary science fiction elements of the story and the human drama. And the performers for the two lead characters do a good job, I think, in their respective roles. Now, there are some other aspects of the game besides the platforming that I think, you know, could have been executed better. Throughout the game, you'll listen to audio logs from other characters, and those performances kind of vary between sounding wooden and stiff to just kind of being outright bad, honestly. And the last quarter or so of the game does drag on a bit too long. You know, one day developers will be confident enough to say, we're going to end the story right here where it narratively makes sense, instead of, you know, forcing some sort of, you know, big boss fight or other type of lengthy sequence just to have a big climax. But today is not that day. Despite those shortcomings, though, I really enjoyed Aphelion. It tells a cool science fiction story with interesting characters in a unique setting. It's a good, you know, 8 to 10 hour experience that moves at a brisk pace and is really captivating throughout, you know, other than that last, you know, hour or two where things kind of drag a bit. Yes, I wish that the climbing and the platforming was done better, especially after recently playing Cairn and how amazing the climbing felt in that game, but don't let that keep you away from what is otherwise a really good single-player adventure. Once again, before I go, I want to just thank everybody who sent kind words and get well messages while I was in the hospital recently. Sometimes when you're doing this kind of a show, you don't always get a lot of, at least I don't get a lot of, you know, direct feedback or whatever all the time. You know, it's a solo show. It's just me making this. I don't really do guest spots on other podcasts, and you know, sometimes I it can feel like I'm just speaking into a void, even though, you know, I see the numbers. I know that there's like an audience. I know you're listening. But you know, there's not always a ton of interaction. So when people reach out in circumstances like this and say, you know, I enjoy the show, and, you know, kind of they say kind things and wish me well, it really, you know, it touches my heart, because all I want to do is make something that puts a smile on someone's face for a little while on a Thursday morning. So thank you for your kindness. I hope I can keep doing this for a long time. And thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.